Welcome to Facebook Live here at Calvary Baptist Church of Gaines, Michigan, a township of 7,200 people. And so excited that you are joining with us today. And the very fact that you are tells us that you have survived another week of the coronavirus pandemic. And that definitely is a good thing. As we know, many people have been affected by this virus. And so we need to be praying one for another. And speaking of prayer, we count it a privilege to be able to pray for you. And you can do this one of two ways. If you want to share a prayer request, you can just go ahead and put that in the comment page or comment there on your as you're following along this morning. Or if you're not comfortable in doing that, you can go to calvaryofgaines@gmail.com. We will check that email and we'll be just honored to be able to pray with you and the various requests that you may have, because this is one of the good things that we can do for one another, is that we can pray for each other during this time. Also, I want to encourage you to be join us again tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll be looking in the Word of God again at a message entitled, What to Do When the Burdens Become Heavy. What does God tell us to do? He has an answer, because the burdens come heavy in life, and when they do, what does God want us to do with those burdens? So I want to encourage you to join us again tonight at 6 o'clock. Let me have you take your Bibles this morning and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to be noting verse 11 through verse 14 primarily. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 through verse number 14. Follow along as I read. The Bible says, Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prospered prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Again, that's from 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 through verse number 14. The year was 1961. There was a chill in the January wind as John F. Kennedy took the oath of office as the United States president. He said these words in his address, And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And that is a great statement. And the question needs to be asked in this hour, what can we do for our country? To be sure, we can pay our taxes, we can vote, we can obey the laws of the land. But there really is something much deeper than this than we can do. As you know, today our nation is fighting for its survival, not only in a physical way, but God is speaking to America. And as he is speaking to America, God wants us to listen. He wants us to pay attention. And so this morning from this passage of scripture, I want us to look at, though this is not speaking about America, this is speaking about where Solomon was building a temple for the house of the Lord. There was a lot involved in building this house, a lot of money in that time that was involved in building this house for the Lord, and the glory of the Lord would fill the house. And it was a momentous time in the history of Israel. And we find that in this context of Scripture, yes, it is primarily speaking at that time to the people of Israel, but there are some applications that we can draw for ourselves that we can use to be a help and a blessing to our own country. And so I want you to notice with me, if you would, in the first few verses of chapter 7, we see in verse number 1 through verse number 3 that there is the completion now of the temple. And Solomon is dedicating this temple unto the Lord. Then the people, in response, in verse 4 through verse number 11, they go into a spirit of worship. They just take time to give God the glory and worship Him. And this was one of many times in the history of Israel that they had some, what I would call some fresh starts. They had some momentous times in their history. And as I think about that, I think about our own country. And I think about how that America definitely had a great start. It reminds me of the spiritual times in which our country was involved in when she started. You had some great spiritual leaders. For instance, listen to some of these quotes. Here's one from Benjamin Franklin. He says, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid?" Abraham Lincoln, our 14th president, said, "I have been driven many times upon my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day." And then our very first president, George Washington, said, and I quote, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." There was a famous historian and social philosopher in the 19th century by the name of Alex de Tocqueville, and he had traveled to America in the 1830s to discover the reasons for the incredible success of our young nation at that time. And here is what he concluded. He said, "I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her democratic Congress and in her matchless Constitution." He said, "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America," he said, "is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." So notice that he even said in the infancy of our country that he said that the strength of our country was found in the pulpits of the land. And so we see that our country definitely had a great start with the blessings of God upon it and had many, even politicians, who were not ashamed to declare the name of Jesus Christ and stand for Him and even have times of prayer. They attend simply realize that if our country is going to go forward, we must go forward following God. And so here in this context of Scripture, we see that even the people of Israel had a great start. God richly had blessed them. If you notice in verse number 13, that it says, "If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So Israel had experienced the blessings of God. But sadly, there was times when Israel had departed from God. They had departed from His word, and they had turned away from that and turned to other idols. And we find that in the context, they move from blessing to a time of judgment. Now, stay with me. We find in verse number 26 of chapter 6, it says this: "When the heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned against thee, yet if they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, when thou dost afflict them, then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people Israel." So we find that God was saying that there can come a time when the blessings will be withdrawn. When God says, all right, I've had enough. And God wasn't doing that because He did not love them, because He loved them with an everlasting love, just like He loves us with an everlasting love. But yet we must remember this, that when God deals with an individual, when God deals with a country, and they do not follow Him and do not follow His word, then God withdraws His blessing. Not because He sits in heaven and is angry, not because He hates us, but because of His love, He is trying to draw us back to Himself. But He made it very clear to Israel then, and I believe clear to us today, not only our country, but the world, that God is speaking, and as He is speaking, He wants us to listen. And so He says in the context that when the blessing is withdrawn and I shut up heaven and I hold back the blessings upon you, it is because that there is some sin that has to be dealt with. There is some things that have to be dealt with so that my blessings can come back in upon you. And we find in the context that God said, I would send drought, I would send famine, I would send pestilence or plague. And you can just read about this over and over in the journey of Israel in Bible times, that when they live for God, they experience the blessings of God. When they did not live for God, God's blessings were withheld. And as I think about that, I think about in Amos chapter 4. You can take time to read that later. But in that particular chapter, God gives five warnings or five wake-up calls. He was trying to win His people back to Himself. He was trying to bring them back to Himself. And five times He sent different things. He says, I sent this, I sent this, I sent this, I sent this. And then at the conclusion of it, that chapter ends by God saying, prepare to meet me. Again, it was not because God did not love them. God very much loved them, and that is why He would at times send these warnings, if you would, or judgments along the way, because He was speaking to them. He was asking them to, if you would, in those times of crisis, to come back to Him. And America, today, we find that God is speaking. The question is, will we listen? Just as He wanted Israel of old to listen to Him and follow Him in those times of judgment, likewise today God is speaking not only to America, but God is speaking to the world. Will we listen? Think about this for a moment. Everything as we know it has stopped. I mean, the sports world has stopped. I was so looking forward to the college tournament and getting involved in that and just watching those games, and can't do it. The NBA closed down, and the hockey season, all of the sports world has come to a complete stop. The music world has stopped. The entertainment business has stopped. Businesses, many of them across our country, are closed at this time. everything has stopped. So we could acknowledge God. Think about that. Everything has stopped so that when we are in our homes, what do we do? I know some of you are stir crazy. You just wondering, what can I do? The honey-do list is already done and so forth. And what am I going to do? And you think about this and how that God, and we're just only speaking of our country, but how that God has brought things to a halt. Where do we look? To whom should we look? God is speaking. He wants us to look up to him and listen. The Bible says in Psalm 46 and verse number 10, "Be still and know that I am God." You see, while our medical task force, and rightfully so, is looking for a cure to this virus, and I'm glad they are doing that, but there is a deeper cure that needs to be sought, and it is found in God. That God is saying, "Return unto me." God is saying, "I'm speaking to you. I have brought things to a halt so that you're not just running to and fro, but that rather you would listen to me." And we find that God, in this context here in 2 Chronicles 7, says, "If I shut up to heaven," in other words, if I begin to withdraw the blessing and if I just hold back the blessing, it's because God wants us to not only acknowledge his presence, but that God wants us to acknowledge our relationship with him and where we stand in that relationship with him. And he wants us to acknowledge even, am I right with God? In other words, I need to acknowledge my sin. The Bible says in Proverbs 14 and verse number 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Psalm 9 and verse number 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Consider with me, has America forgotten God? Oh, I know that when we had the sports going on, particularly when baseball season was about ready to start, and you would have in that seventh inning, people would stand up and sing, "God Bless America." And I love that, and I truly want God's blessing. But in our nation, have we forgotten God? Well, consider this. Before this virus hit in strong impact, less than 20% of Americans were going to church anywhere. They were busy with their golf game. They were busy with all other kinds of things, except on the Lord's Day, less than 20% of Americans were going to church anywhere. I believe probably there would be many people that today would love to be in a church building with other people and worshiping and praising God together. But you see, God says, when a nation turns its back on me, God has a way of getting that nation's attention. Think about in your own life as a Christian. Are you now more in tune with God than you've ever been? Have you been taking the time to read the Word of God and really spend some time on focused prayer? You see, this virus, as challenging as it is, God is speaking to us, and if we will listen and if we will turn to him, then we, one, will be the better for it. And we find that God is speaking to America. He wants us to listen. We have experienced his blessings. We have need then as well to come to a point where we acknowledge our sin, because that's what he told Israel here to do when the blessings were withdrawn. He says, "I want you to then realize that they're shut up because of sin." And they had to deal with that. But I don't want to leave you on that note, because the Bible doesn't leave us on that note either. So as God is speaking to America, and if we will listen, we need to realize that there is hope. And this is what God wanted Israel to do as well. He mapped out for them a way of hope. He said, if I shut up the heaven, if I do that, he says, then the hope is this. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Many, many times as you read the Old Testament scripture, when Israel had departed from God, when Israel had left God's word and followed their own thinking and followed their own ways, and then we find that God would be saying to them, return unto me, return unto me. He wasn't shouting it. He was just saying to them, return unto me, return to me. And in verse 14, this is, if you would, God saying, return to me. Here is your hope. And he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Because you see, in the presence of God, there is no room for pride. God resisteth the proud, the Bible says, and gives grace to the humble. And so we find that he says, I want you to humble yourself, and then I want you to have a spirit of dependence. I want you to pray. I want you to humble yourself. I want you to pray. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. How powerful prayer is at this time. America has experienced three great awakenings, or three great revivals. In 1740 to 1742, that was the first one. In 1790 to 1840 was the second one. And from 1857 to 1859 was the third great awakening. A third great revival, a time in which God really moved in the United States of America. Let me tell you a little bit about that time. That was in that third great awakening, there was a 48-year-old businessman named Jeremiah Lanphier, who began a prayer meeting on Fulton Street in New York City. It began slowly and soon exploded. In fact, if you read more of the history of that revival meeting, you'll find out that he said, we're going to meet at a certain time, and just maybe six people showed up. And then he did it again, and just a few more people joined. And then it just really took off and exploded. The New York stock market crashed around that same time, and soon Jeremiah Lanphier's prayer meeting was attended by hundreds. Prayer meetings broke out all over New York City, filling theaters on Broadway. Within 6 months, 10,000 people gathered daily for prayer throughout the city. It is reported that 50,000 New Yorkers were saved from March to May. During that single year, the number of reported conversions throughout the country reach an average of 50,000 a week for a couple of years. Over 1 million people came to Christ in this brief period. Please note that it wasn't a 48-year-old preacher that started this. God used a 48-year-old businessman who said, we must get on our knees and we must look up to God and we must pray. And God moved in a great, great way all over our country. So God here in this context was saying, part of the cure, part of the hope is that not only my people would humble themselves, but that my people would pray. And then he says, and seek my face. To seek the mercy of God. The Bible says in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, that it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, God again moves toward us in love, and he says, I want you to humble yourself. I want you to pray. I want you to look up to me. I want you to pray, and I want you to seek my face, and I want you to seek my mercy. And then he says this, and turn from their wicked ways. So there has to be this moment of repentance and saying, Lord, I haven't been as close to you as I should be. I haven't been where I ought to be. And it's just going ahead and agreeing with God, saying the same thing about sin as he does. And none of us are perfect. No, but God wants us so to be close to him during this time. And he tells us here in this context that if you will do these four things, then notice what he promised. He says, then I will hear from heaven. I don't know about you, when I pray, I want God to hear me. I just don't want to go through a bunch of words. I really want to know that God is hearing. And he promised, I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, to know that your sins are forgiven. What a great place to be. And then he says this, and I will heal their land. You see, God is saying there is hope. And there is hope, America. There is hope, church. There is hope that if we as his people will be in a right relationship with him, if we will draw near to him during this time, here is what he promised in James chapter 4. He said this, draw nigh to God and I will draw nigh to you. He's saying, draw near to me. Seek my face. Pray. He says, then I will hear. And I'll forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. Oh, to be sure, everyone is looking for the cure for this virus. God is looking for something much, much deeper than that. God is looking upon our hearts and just saying, will you now turn to me? Will you now live a life of full surrender to me? Will you now come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your faith and trust in me? Now is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Now is the accepted time. God is speaking. We must listen. To turn a deaf ear to God, we do so at our own demise. God is speaking to us. And here he was telling Solomon, as he was leading Israel at that time, if I shut up the heaven, if I withdraw the blessing, he says, I want you to realize, though, that there is hope, that you can turn from your sin, you can humble yourself, you can pray. You can turn from your wicked ways. Then I will heal your land. You see, God is more concerned about healing our hearts. It's not that he's not concerned about this virus. He is. But God is concerned about what our relationship is like with him. So as you consider this morning, God can bless America again. God can really work in this country again. He is at work, by the way. But God can really come to that place where he can really bless America. I realize I don't have, if you would, the ear of America. I do not stand before you this morning as your pastor, as a prophet. But I do say this, that God really cares about the direction our country is headed. Years ago, someone asked the late Billy Graham, do you believe that America is at the crossroads? He said, no, I don't believe that. He says, I believe America has gone past the crossroads and has taken the wrong road away from God. He says, what America needs to do is come back to the crossroads and take the right road back to God. And I echo that this morning, that America needs, in this time of great crisis, we need to get upon our knees and we need to look up to God. A God who loves us, a God who cares for us. And turn to Him and hear what He has to say to us at this time. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, your greatest need is Jesus. Because you see, we all have a very common virus. It's called the sin virus. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Bible also says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God wants to give you a gift today. It's called the gift of eternal life. And God so loved you that He gave His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on an old rugged cross for you. He did it in obedience to God's will, but He did it so that there could be a way of salvation, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God, again, just as He is, He offers hope to man. This is not something God forces on anyone, but God wants to save us. He wants to forgive us of our sin. He wants us to come to where we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And if you've never made that decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today, wherever you may be watching this, just right now say, "Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I realize that Jesus died for me and rose again. I ask You to come into my life and to save me right now." And when you pray that prayer and ask the Lord to save you, I have great news for you. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Savior. If you've made that decision today, again, would you contact us at calvaryofgaines@gmail.com? We would love to send you some literature that would help you and help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. And we thank God that there is hope. There is hope. I realize that in this message, it hasn't necessarily been the kind of message that maybe you were expecting. But it's one that throughout the week as I was thinking about it, that God just would not let me get away from. Because again, I'm so burdened that in this time that we will not miss what God is saying to us. He wants us to come to Him and totally rely on Him, and He will see us through. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank You so much that You love us, and thank You for a way forward. It's so much different than what the politicians of our country are the path that they're on. And I get that, Father, I really do. And I pray for our politicians. I pray for our president today and the members of the medical task force, that You would give them understanding and wisdom. And because we're in this together, we really are. But Father, You're speaking to us as a country. And You've brought everything almost to a stop so that we would look up. May we look up to You. From You comes our help. We need help. We need not only a deliverance from this virus, but we need help spiritually. And I'm so thankful that You again there have shown us how we can be in a right relationship with You. And so how I trust that today we will take You at Your word, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. May we claim that promise this week, and just take time right now when things are still, when things are at a slower pace, that we would just get as close to you as we can and walk in obedience to your word and live for you in these days. For those that know not Jesus, may they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 God bless you. And we will be praying for you again. Reach out to us and let us know if you have any prayer requests. We'll be glad to pray with you. God bless you.